The PlayStation Plus Game Club is part of the Trophy Talk Network. Thank you to all of our wonderful supporters on Patreon. It really means a lot to us. So a special thank you shout out to Pat the Trophy Hunter, Against Me, King K6969, Toxic, Be Down, Diego Juan, First Mage, Gary Cooper, and Jordan Vickers. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/trophytalknetwork to learn more. And for now, enjoy the show. What's up, Internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, a.k.a. the Portland Kevin. This is a show where we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus library and break it down for your entertainment, information, and amusement. Today, we are talking about Bee Simulator, developed by Warsaw Game Studios out of Poland and published by Big Ben Interactive in November of 2019. This adorable indie game has you play as a lone worker bee, helping your hive survive in Central Park. You collect pollen, help other animals to sustain the ecosystem, and eventually look for a new hive location. It also has a surprisingly educational spin to it, which made it even more endearing. And speaking of school, joining me to talk bees is a high school friend of mine, Rachel Saffeld. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's very exciting to see you and like talk to you once again. And, you know, I'm really excited to talk about Bee Simulator and have you on the podcast, but you've got your own podcast as well.
That's right. I run a podcast with my best friend, Kristen Tesh. It's called Critically Tipsy. We drink and review things for your pleasure. We dive really deep. We go through the whole movie and we don't just do like new stuff. We do stuff from our childhoods, like the 90s and the 80s and stuff, the good stuff, you know.
You've done a few really good hidden gems from my childhood, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Such a good movie. I think that was one of the first I remember seeing in theaters. So that really hit me.
I'm sorry, are there any other turtle movies?
Let's not talk about the sequels, especially that third one that didn't happen. Oh boy.
That's fair. Yeah. Oh no.
But if you enjoy this episode here of the PlayStation Plus Game Club and want to hear more, please like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps us show up in more recommended feeds and algorithms. If you want to be part of an episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club, you can send in an email at psplusgameclub@gmail.com or find our Discord channel to write and talk about it there. The PlayStation Plus Game Club is also part of the Trophy Talk Network, and that Discord has a larger community as well as connections to other shows like the Trophy Talk podcast, the Moogle cast, and Surviving the Horror. The Trophy Talk Network also has a Patreon that we are a part of, but in February, almost all the benefits you can get through their Patreon tiers are open up to everyone, and they're all free right now. So head over to the Discord to check out those and take advantage of them. So I wanted to get that little bit of housekeeping out of the way because I am really excited to talk about Bee Simulator.
The Honey Bee, a tiny hero in a big world. Honeybees are the most important pollinators. Pollinating almost 100 crops. Making it the most fruitful job in the world. But without them, life as we know it will end. And bees are in trouble. In recent years, millions of bee colonies have been lost all around the world. Besides their natural enemies like birds or parasites, bees must deal with new dangers. Pesticides, low nutrition, and viruses, which all weaken our natural pollinators. So listen to our story of the bee hero to see how even the smallest life can matter and be the change.
This was way more fun than I expected. I have to admit, more fun.
the first question that I threw into our show notes was, what did you name your bee?
I named mine Bonnie.
That is adorable. Why did you pick Bonnie?
A while back, I actually started writing a little children's book teaching kids about like how pollination works. And I made the narrator Bonnie. So I was like, well, I know that's my bee name, I guess, is Bonnie.
Good choice. I was having a hard time like coming up with a good one until I suddenly just thought of, well, how about Beatrice?
Love it.
And then
I love it. That's a perfect like granny name.
Yeah. And I saw a few other people in our Discord throwing names around. One of them I think was Beethoven. And that gave me a good chuckle. Bonnie is pretty adorable. I like that one.
Thank you.
So this is Bee Simulator, and we were talking about like what game are we gonna play, and you said you like simulation games, and I was like, well, hold on, let me look through the list. What do we have that is relatively short and easy to play? I saw Bee Simulator, didn't really have a good context of what this was and how you played it, but I sent you the trailer, and within like 30 seconds, you messaged me back saying, like, we're doing this no matter what. Like,
this is it.
Yeah. And the general gameplay of this is like, it's not necessarily like a sim style kind of game. Like, there are sim games all over the place now on PlayStation where there's like, you know, lawn mowing simulator, there's Power Wash Simulator, that was a big famous one. There's Goat Simulator, which is a joke made in the Grand Theft Auto engine. But Bee Simulator is not really like a sim style kind of game where you have like this overhead view of all the stuff that you're in control of, and you're telling certain things to go certain places and do certain things. This one, you're just playing as one single unit, and it's one bee that you're playing as, and you just fly around and have your bee collect pollen as it flies past flowers. Also do a couple of other things in the park, but it has this very adorable presentation to it that I want to get to in a minute. But just talking about the general gameplay, what did you think of this? Like when you first saw the trailer?
I mean, I immediately was drawn into just the textures, the detail. It looked like such a, what's the word, vibrant little world that they had created, and that'll always draw me immediately. Is, you know, I like lots of color, and I like, you know, show me what you got, and this, it just looked really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the general gameplay, I found it very user friendly, because those tutorials, they just, you know, walk you right through. You can skip past them if you need to, which I really like, because, you know, once I was doing it on the second go, I'm like, okay, yes, I know how to beat. All right.
I got this. Also, like, there is a lot to do, but it does feel like it is a game that was developed like on a very low budget. And you can kind of see that in a lot of places. But where the attention was put is probably in some of the most important places for this. So it feels like a low budget game that has... It feels like they've optimized every single thing they could. Like, they didn't waste any of their budget going anywhere. Like, the way the bee looks, like, especially the bee models, are really good looking. And that's because, like, that's the one thing that's going to be on screen all the time. It was also made using the Unreal Engine, so everything looks mostly, like, as far as realistic as they could go. But like some of the animal models kind of look wonky, and especially the human models look very silly, but like the environmental models, like the grass and the flowers and the trees, look really good. So I really appreciate how they feels like they've harnessed what they could out of the engine to make something that looks the best that it can on the budget that they had. And that's kind of adding to the endearing style of this. So I do want to ask you, thinking about the presentation, and this is the presentation itself made it so endearing. What did you think of all of the educational points that they were trying to throw into this, and all of cool little B-facts that you see every once in a while?
I loved it. I feel like they really, tried, really did their research, their homework with these work and how they operate.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned kind of the textures, but also even the shadowing.
Yeah.
I felt with trees and everything, I was really impressed by they even made sure to make it actually look like the wind's blowing through these leaves or something,
Yeah.
But one of my favorite features was when you fly by the humans and they make
they're talking in Simlish. So you're not going to understand them, but they're somebody's having a heated conversation over here.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I thought it was kind of clever. It's almost like it's from the bee's perspective.
Yeah.
what humans sound like to a bee. It's all just blah, blah, blah. One more thing I was going to mention was the flowers, because I was looking around wow, they got they did poppies and crocus and echinacea, foxglove, real flowers. They didn't just do little, random daisies or something. I really appreciated that.
They really took the time to make sure they were real models of something, rather than just I'm just going to make a flower and it's going to look like whatever. This is what the game's flowers look like. It's no. They actually wanted to make realistic stuff for this game. And that kind of adds to the realism, which it just added to the immersion of it as well. So before we move on deep into the presentation, I had one question come in from the Discord. KingK6969 asked, is this really a simulator game? Because how do you define a simulator game, really?
I mean, for me personally, a simulation game is you are able to go and do a task yourself, I guess, and literally simulate what it's like to do that. Goat Simulator. What is it like to walk around as a goat and munch on grass and cans and stuff?
Yeah.
What is it like to be a bee and go collect pollen? You'll just fly by the flower and pick up the pollen. You don't actually land on it and collect it. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of a leeway, I guess, there with the simulator. Yeah.
It's a slight abstraction, but I feel like it does get to the spirit of bees and what they do. So, it does make that easier. It's, and also the word simulator it could be used very loosely. You could argue that, sure, any video game is a simulator game. It's just that, Splinter Cell is a secret agent simulator. So that's what we're going to do. And, you can just go out and do the missions. You don't have to come home and do the paperwork. But this, in a sense, it's it's a bee simulator kind of game. And you don't have to do everything. You don't have to fly into the pollen of the flower. You just have to fly by it. And that little shortcut makes it more fun of a game. But in this case, a simulator kind of game, I wouldn't call this a management simulator, but it trying to simulate just the typical tasks of a bee is really good.
Great.
Hi. Oh, what's wrong? You look sad.
I'm fed up with pollen. I wanted to help in the search for a new hive, but the queen won't let me.
You must be so upset, but I know just what will cheer you up. Follow me, and watch out for that wind.
Okay. So with that out of the way, the presentation and stuff, we were talking about some of the graphic design and stuff. The music was very upbeat and fun. I felt like it kind of got repetitive after a while, but
yes,
it did set the atmosphere pretty well. One thing that I really loved about it, though, was how many different educational tools and facts they threw into this game. Like during the loading screens, you see some interesting B fact pop up on the screen. I was playing this on PlayStation 5. And so because this game is a PS4 game that was intended to be on PS4, the loading screens have these facts. And unfortunately, the PS5 just like loads right through it. And so I would rarely have enough time to just read the whole thing. But the first time it happened, I was sitting there and my wife Carrie was on the couch next to me and she was reading the B facts too. And then it just cuts to the game. And she was like, well, wait, why did you go through? Like, I was reading that. And I said, that wasn't me. That was the loading. Like, it was loading right then. So
I'm innocent.
The PlayStation is too fast for this game. I'm sorry. But
that's funny. Yeah.
They threw in tons of these cool facts. Like, what were some of the most interesting facts that you pointed out in this game?
I think at one point they did mention that only 90 to 99% of the hive is female.
Yeah.
They mentioned how fast they can fly, which I believe was 15 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. It was like when I read that one, I was like, no way, come on. And then I had to Google it. Like, oh yeah, that was actually accurate. Wow.
They're fast little fuckers.
There was another one that said something about how much, I don't remember the number, but like how much honey they can they produce over the course of a lifetime. And it was like a single tablespoon. And I was like shocked. It was like, no way, that's it. That's all the bee produces. And that's how much we consume, like in a single cup of tea sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And it definitely, when I learned that, it made me look at honey very differently. I'm like, we should just be a little more sparing with this, you know? Yeah.
It's a good thing it doesn't go bad.
Amen.
Anything else?
You know, and I was going to say the fights that you have to do with some of the creatures, I thought was, you know, that is where you do finally get like a music change, at least. I was going to ask, did you find those fights at all frustrating?
Oh, yeah. So like we should talk about the mini games. So part of the gameplay is like you're flying around as a bee and you fly past flowers, you collect the pollen and bring it back to your hive. That's the majority of the gameplay. But in this sort of abstract version of Central Park, you can also find other things to do. And these other tasks are one of like five different mini games. And some of them are like fly around and collect pollens of a specific flower type. Others are dance in front of a bee. But there's one particular type that is you have to fight another bee or a similar kind of species like a wasp. And those fights at first were maddening. And part of it was because I set the game to hard. You have two options when you start the game. You can play on easy or on hard. And I thought like, oh, let's start with hard and I can calibrate down if I feel like I need to. The fighting minigame as like an actual fighting game, it is a competent fighting game where like you have blocking, you have certain directions of swings and moves that you can take. And you have to be able to block your bee and anticipate the moves that the other insect is going to come at you with. And I straight up lost a bunch of fights. And I finally said, this is really hard. Because like I would win some and lose some, but I never really felt like I was really ahead of the curve when it came to fighting. So those fights were hard, at least on hard mode. But when I changed it down to easy, it was like it was a completely different minigame, where now it was like a rhythm game, like in Guitar Hero, where it just gives you a list of button prompts and a meter that goes across the screen, and you have to hit the buttons in a certain time frame. And it was really easy. So what did you think of, first of all, did you play it on easy or hard? And what do you think of the fighting?
So I'm one of those people, when I play to relax. So I played easy. I did try hard after I'd completed the easy. But yeah, so I definitely did easy, just to be like, okay, if I wanted just a casual gameplay, let's see how this goes. I kind of like that we both did opposite to try it out first. And yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, so for example, those things where you have to like, chase somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that. Like anytime those challenges would come up in Assassin's Creed, I'm like, oh no, I'm just going to back right out. Cause I'm not good at chasing things. So after a while it will just be, if you have enough fails, it'll just be like, do you want to skip this? I'm like, yes, thank you. You get me. You understand me. Thank you. You know?
Yeah, that's where I actually changed the difficulty from hard to easy. And I was just like, you know what? I don't know how to beat this. And so I'm going to switch. It's like the change was just day and night. And with the races, like you were talking about, they become just incredibly easy. And I just said, like, you still have to fly through rings, just like the hard mode. But with this time, there are fewer rings to fly through. And it feels like the bee you're chasing is going a lot slower. And I was like, okay, well, I feel like I got this. This is better. I think there was only one race where I just like had a hard time finishing it and had to like try over and over and finally got it.
You had to rise above it, man.
I really did. I really did. The dancing minigame I thought was a cool version of like the Simon kind of game where you have to like memorize steps and then they add on another step and another step and another step. But I felt like the maximum that they had you memorize was 6. And I think they could have gone for even more.
I agree. I was actually surprised by the time I was getting to like 5 or 6. I'm like, oh, we're almost done here. It's like, okay. You know?
And one of the funniest parts I remember was when I didn't know that it was going to be like that kind of game, but or at least I wasn't used to that kind of mini game. And so the bee would show up. It would like say, like, I'm going to start dancing and show you where the secret flower is. And I'd be like, okay, cool. And it does one dance move. And it's just like a swoop to down and comes back up. And I sat there for a second and thought, that's it? Like, that's your dance? Like, you're not going to do more? Like, and then I realized, oh, no. That's just the first step. And she's teaching me like 5 steps and I just have to like start by the first one. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I got confused at that too at first. I'm like, am I supposed to do something? And oh, I have to mimic. Okay.
It's like, so you're just going to fly left. That was your direction. Oh, there's another one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Well, King K6969 also asked, did you fail any of the mini games like the spiderweb escape? What happens?
I couldn't find it. I wasn't able to get to find the spider web one.
Okay. I found
I don't know what I did wrong because I was looking everywhere for that thing.
I found 3, I think.
Oh, I did.
And there was first of all, there was one that that's like inside the tree that where your hive is. But I ended up like trying to fly into it and the game glitched out and just bounced me right off of it. There's another one that is near the boathouse that you can repeatedly go to over and over to just continue racking up, you know, the count of escapes that you've done. But I found that one. And then there's like another one that's inside of a log somewhere. But if you fly into the spider web, it has that that kind of the meter that bounces back and forth and you just have to hit the button within the time to get it to stop, and then you escape. If you don't do that and you wait like 30 seconds, like I had to actually put the controller down and be like, okay, gotta wait for 30 seconds and just see what happens, because it was really, really hard to fail if I was trying to win. And that time the spider does get to the bee and it doesn't kill you. It just bites you and then lets you go anyway. And your bee for like another, like a minute, is dizzy. And the camera just sways back and forth as you're trying to fly. That was the only effect that I saw. So it kind of it feels like the stakes are deceptively not high at all. But it was still something fun to do within like the bee world of like, here's another mini game that we'll throw in, and you know, you have to escape from a web. This is fun. This is cool. But yeah, like that. Did you end up failing any of their other mini games and like have anything weird happen?
Yes, there was one. I apologize. I didn't write down which particular one it was, but it was one where I had to take on like three or something. And I couldn't do it. But I realized, and then this might be maybe you could say a glitch in the game, or maybe it's just something they didn't think of. There's no way to like really back out of it.
Oh yeah.
So I had to just go back to the main menu basically. And it kicked me out finally. Like, I don't want this fight. I don't want this fight.
I swear, I don't want trouble.
Right? Yes, exactly.
You can't just run away. No.
Well, well, what do we have here?
Oh, no! The Hornet! We're doomed!
That's right, little bee. You are doomed. I will crush all of you. Your honey will be mine.
Babby, you must warn our queen. I will hold him off for as long as I can.
You wish to fight me?
Speaking of glitches, because like I did have that happen. I did find this game to be pretty buggy, and like in terms of like not like game breaking stuff or like where I had to like close the game to restart. It was just a case of like me like flying around and like trying to accomplish things, and sometimes they didn't count towards my overall completion. Us like being part of the Trophy Talk network here. We have a few people in the Discord complaining about how your stats were not tracking. They finished like a bunch of fights and then it didn't register that they'd finished all the fights. Thankfully, like if the game glitches on you like that, what you can do is just delete your save and start over, and your stats will actually roll over to the next save. So then you could just restart the game and continue amassing all of the pollen that you need to get to that 3000 count, or like get the rest of the spider webs like I needed, where like I swear I got like 10 spider webs and I looked at my stats and it only said I had 2. So I was like, okay, well, gotta start the game over and I'll just keep going for them. A few other people had some bugs, and I'll mention those in the plat shoutouts. But one other thing that I didn't discover until the second time I started playing the game, like I went through the entire campaign and then actually like looked further into the menus, but you can customize your bee also. Did you end up customizing your bee in terms of the look?
I did, actually.
Yeah.
I got the Cyber Bee MK2, of course, because pink wings.
It looks pretty badass. Yeah. Yeah. And did you accessorize it at all?
No, I didn't quite get that far, but just wearing the skin. Yeah,
there are like skins that you can buy with your bee points that you've amassed, and you can also like buy accessories. So I, at one point, put a traffic cone on my bee and on the bee's head, and added like glitter effect to it. So wherever it flies, it leaves a glitter trail, that made Carrie laugh pretty hard. One other thing was, like I got a wizard hat and then I added stars. So it had a trail of stars. And so it was like, oh, it's a Disney bee. Yay. Like there it goes.
Oh my God. That's adorable.
It is. And it fit with the name, like, Beatrice, I imagine, was like this witch that had turned into a bee.
She has her own backstory. That's so cute.
or. One of my other favorites was the combination of the headphones and the trailblazer effect, which it was like, okay, well, this bee's a DJ and she's going out and partying because she's got this trail of rainbow sparkles and fireworks that come off of her. And she's got headphones. By the way, the headphones actually covered her eyes because of where the positioning was, but doesn't matter. It still looks really cool.
It doesn't matter if she runs into things. Does she look amazing?
She looks amazing. It looks awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else to talk about as far as the mini games go?
I enjoyed them. I liked the break in the, you know, okay, yeah, we've been gathering some pollen, taking it back to the hive, blah, blah, blah. But, the, you know, I liked having that little, like, okay, now here's a quest, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of quests, there is a very short story to go through for, like, the main quest. And you're tasked with just flying out from the hive that is, like, nestled inside this hollowed-out tree and collecting pollen, bringing it back to the hive. And there are chapters of this game that you go through. One of them just has you collecting the pollen. Another one has, like, you finding other lost bees that have, like, somehow disappeared inside of a small cave that is underneath the tree. And then there's eventually, like, people that come by and start to fumigate the tree, and they want to cut it down. So you go out and you start searching for a new hive against your queen's orders. And she's telling you, just go collect more pollen. Don't waste your time with anything else.
And this, yeah, because the scouts are supposed to do that. And so you're like trampling on their territory, man.
You're not a scout. What are you doing? What did you think of, like, the main story of this?
I absolutely loved how it fit right in with what is a danger to bees? Well, humans, frankly. Yeah. The things we do.
It felt surprisingly realistic. It's like, oh yeah, like they want to cut down the tree. Well, you've got a whole hive in here. What's the hive going to do? What does the hive think about this whole thing? And it was almost like the concept of it is almost apocalyptic, where it's like, oh, they're destroying an entire world here.
Yeah. Yeah, you really get a feel of, like, I hate to get all Ferngully on us, but there are worlds within worlds, Krista. You know, mm-hmm. and we get to really see that here, you know.
Let's not invoke the name of Hexus just yet.
No. But I do love that. It's like this, like midnight ride
that
you take with the hive as you go to, like, to the new home and everything. It's really cool.
It was, because, like, they... When the smoke, like, they think it's smoke, but it's probably, like, pesticide coming into the tree. But, like, when that comes in, they have you, it's almost like it's an all-hands emergency where suddenly you're trying to not just escape, but, like, rescue all the larvae that are still in the tree. And so, like, they have you, like, run them out of the building like it's a fire. And and then, like, you fly through the park, which... I did think it was a little bit funny that, like, the park, it's at night and it's really foggy, but you still have everyone in the park that was there from the day. And so, like, you fly by some guy that's, like, doing push-ups on a yoga mat, and you fly by, like, somebody, like, still using the barbecue. It's like, dude, it is, like, the dead of night and super foggy. Right. What are you doing here in the park still, man?
There's, like, kids on swings. It's like, what are we doing?
Does not matter. You're just going to fly to your new hive. So as a bee, you fly to the new hive. You get set up, like, underneath this hollowed out attic section of the boathouse. And now you've got a new place to live. And that's the end of the whole story. But then there's, like, other side quests to do. And these can be done, like, at any point or in the story. So you could just save all of these side quests for the very end, or you could do them as you find them. But the story itself, like, I think Carrie was very invested in what I was doing as a bee. And so every morning we take walks in the mornings, and every morning she'd ask, like, so what's happening with the hive now? And I'd be like, well, it's in danger of being destroyed. The bee is out. I'm searching for a new hive right now. We're not sure what's going to happen, but I think the humans are going to want to take the tree out. So we'll see. Meanwhile, last night I found a mole, or I found another bee that lived underground, and her hive was being threatened by a mole. And so she asked me to go underground and sting the mole to get him to leave. By the way, like,
I was gonna say, this is like her show now. You made it her show.
Yes, I'll have to call her into the room. But no, like she, the bee, you fly down in underground into the ground bee's hive. Or I don't know. You might know what the species actually is, but you sting the mole and he leaves. And I thought it was hilarious that you can sting anything however many times you want. Doesn't matter. You're going to be fine.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't immediately kill you. Yeah. Oh, there's that one where you have a bully kid. Yep. Who's like, what, he's stomping on the flowers.
He's
right?
Stomping on flowers. Yeah.
And so I have to go like sting this child. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with this.
go sting the 5-year-old. He'll learn his lesson. Yeah.
Yeah. Teach that jerk kid a lesson. You know?
You don't just have to sting him, but you have to sing him 3 times. And it's like, wow, man. Yeah. Okay. It's really going to suck. You're going to have a bad day, kid. Man.
So, and you're right. The bee should be having a bad day too.
But you do get to do a lot of fun stuff. Also, like your stinger, it interacts with the rest of the world too. Like if you just fly up on something and hit the sting button, it might actually have an effect on whatever you're on. Like if you land on a lamppost and hit the sting button, the light will light up because your bee has stung the light. Or if you land on one of the many CD players that people are dancing to somewhere in the park, it will change the music.
Yes, I thought that was cute.
One of the other really cute things is that if you like fly through a bunch of flowers of the same rarity or the same color, you end up building up this nitro boost, which then you can use to fly faster. And without flying with the nitro boost, my bee felt really sluggish. So I kind of wish that you could just have something that unlocks an unlimited nitro. But
yes. Like, what were they calling it? Beetro?
Beetro, yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, I call it nitro, but like, yeah, it was right, Beetro, right. And it said in quotes. So you get a mass enough Beetro and you can fly at a considerably nice speed. And so that's really good. But it does feel like, you know, it feels like I'd want that actual speed the whole time. And that's one thing that I wish I could get unlocked. However, you can amass a large amount at once by landing on food and just like sucking up the energy. And it's usually stuff that's very sugary that you can land on. And that stuff, I like doing that kind of thing made me laugh because I thought like, man, I hate it so many times when bees land on food, like when I'm like at a family function or something. And now I have like a narrative reason for it. It's like, oh yeah, the bee just need to fly faster. That's why it landed on my chicken.
That's what it is. He's like Vin Diesel. Like I just need that extra inch for Redman. Still my me.
Just gonna fly over here. That one need to go fast.
No, but I loved that though, because yeah, how often I would like, you know, find a popsicle wrapper and it's just covered in bees, you know, like, yeah, they go straight for that sugar.
Anything else to cover as far as like the side quests and the environment goes? I did want to mention there was one thing that I noticed, like this reminded me of it, but flying through the flowers and collecting the pollen and hearing those musical notes reminded me of the game Flower. Did you ever play that game?
No.
Oh. Well, like it is a game where you control a single flower petal on a gust of wind, and you make this flower petal fly through other flowers and collect more petals, and you eventually become this
amazing
this like gust of wind that has amassed a ton of flower petals. So that one, it came out in like 2009, I think, but that was one of my favorite games from PlayStation 3, and it's now on PS4, but it is one of those like very serene art pieces that you could say that's like, well, it's an art piece, it's sort of a game, but it's a great way to kick back and relax. And I love that game, so not to skip ahead to recommendations, but you should check that one out.
Yeah, I want to check that out now.
But yeah, anything to add regarding the gameplay, the side quests, or anything?
Nothing springs to mind. Yeah, I think we covered it all.
Oh, this sweet stuff. It's so good. I think this human saved my life. Wow. Who would imagine a human could actually be useful? So what was I doing before I fainted? Oh, yes, the queen. Quickly, back to the hive.
There are a few platinum shoutouts that I pulled from our Discord over on the Trophy Talk Network. And just wanted to give some of those for people that have been playing along with us as I've been leading up to recording the Bee Simulator episode. First of all, King K6969 said, "The game is a blast and a much needed break from Valhalla." He meant Assassin's Creed Valhalla that he was grinding away in. If you like Maneater, which was another fun episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club, you will most likely enjoy this game. Took me 11 hours over 3 days. Wow, so he did it pretty fast. Yeah. The game did glitch on me, however. They fixed all the glitches by allowing stats to be carried over to a new play profile, so the glitch didn't add any time onto my playthrough. But yeah, this was one of the cases where, like, oh, your stats kind of, like, glitched out on you, and now it's not tracking anything. So then you just have to delete your save file and restart. And it's not that big a deal because they roll over, but it's kind of annoying. It's like, hey, come on, give me a reward for doing what you guys told me to do. Fate wrote in saying, "Thus ends the saga of Beethoven. There was a small grind at the end that felt like busy work, but overall a pretty good experience. The art style's charming, but the writing could have been better. I also had to start a second playthrough to get all the challenges trophy to pop. So lots of bugs in this one, but let's see. Toxic said that they platinumed it back in April of last year. Interesting game overall, but buggy as hell from what I remember. Was pretty tired of it by the end. Hope you guys enjoy it more than I did. Laughing emoji. You know, I found it kind of relaxing and endearing, and it was a very nice break to have, because what I would end up doing is I would start the night after Carrie went to bed and play a horror game for an hour, because I just wanted to get the shit scared out of myself. And then after playing that for a while, I would then switch over to Bee Simulator to kind of clear my head and get ready mentally for bed and, you know, have a good night's sleep rather than freak myself out.
It's like your cup of warm milk before you turn in.
Look, I was tired of exploring this haunted house, or like there was like some ghost of a woman that had her kid die inside the house. I need a break. I need something fun. finally, Slugger JD said, "As a proud bee, I'm happy to be doing my part and gathering more nectar than what is required of me for a trophy. I don't do this for the trophy. I do it for the good of the hive." Mm. Very good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Respect. Yeah.
So, thinking about recommendations, who should check out Bee Simulator? Who would you recommend this game to?
So, I would say anyone who enjoys simulator games is a good place to start, but also anyone who loves bees and pollinators. And really anyone, any nature lover who is also a gamer, I guess, and wanted to try something like this would enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's also a co-op mode, like a two-player split screen mode that I didn't get the chance to try out, but did you try that out?
I did not. Okay. Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's possibly something that could be good for families then, because then, you know, you can get a couple of kids playing it together. But yeah, didn't get the chance to try that. So I would say anyone looking for a good relaxing time should try this game, because it is relatively easy and kind of serene and calm. And it just made me feel good playing the whole time.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I think that kind of comes from the aesthetic that reminded me a lot of Flower, where like you have, it's almost like you have the same exact musical notes when you hit the flowers in this game. Like that's the same note that you hear when you touch a flower in the game Flower. That's kind of a weird connection that really brought me back to that game. So as a way to kick off the actual Books and More recommendations segment of this book club style podcast, I recommend the game Flower. Go check out Flower if you're listening and you're kind of wanting something with a similar aesthetic that involves just relaxing and, you know, just taking in the scenery. Flower is a great find. But I asked you specifically because this is about bugs and playing around with bees. What are some of your favorite movies about bugs?
Well, first up would have to be James and the Giant Peach.
I love that one so much. Like that's one of my favorite like childhood movies.
Absolutely. And I love like claymation and like, yeah, I love different mediums like that. And so, yeah, that's always been a favorite. Mm-hmm. Definitely A Bug's Life, of course.
Yeah, that's a classic. Like I love watching that one and how like much comedy they throw into it. And then there's like some actual action sequences in the movie. And it's like, this is great. And they're just like Disney bugs. They're just like running around and stuff. I also thought it was very funny how that movie came out the same year as Ants did. And so it was like there were dueling animated movies about ants. I love both of them. So I recommend checking them both out.
It kind of reminds me of that summer where Deep Impact and Armageddon came out at the same time. And it was like, oh, it's all about asteroids destroying Earth this summer.
Dude, that kind of thing happens all the time in Hollywood. It's wild. Like how many times there are movie pairs that come out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it's a bug, but Eight-Legged Freaks. Have you ever seen that one?
Dude, we saw that one in theaters together. I don't know if you remember that, but like we did go to the movies together to see that movie.
And okay. Now I feel like an idiot. I'm so sorry.
No, because like me actually starting to talk about this brings back a flood of memories where like, I remember we were sitting in the theater and nothing was happening. And it was like, I looked at my watch and it was like 10 minutes after the hour. And I was like, dude, are they going to start this thing or what? And like, I got up and I went to someone at the concession stand. I was like, hey, we're waiting for Eight-Legged Freaks to start. Like, what's going on?
I know we're the only ones here, but dude, can it start?
No.
Okay. I think I remember this now. I'm so sorry. I forgot about it. Oh my God.
Don't worry about it. That was 20 years ago. What do we know? But
I can't remember everything.
But like that movie, that was like the perfect combination of like a horror comedy where it felt like I was watching Gremlins with spiders. And it was really funny. It had some great writing in it. David Arquette was not someone that I recognized at the time, but so funny, so good in that movie. But
it's like a Tremors kind of feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah. He had also improvised a line that eventually became the name of the movie. Because like he's like shouting at them and he shouts like, get back, you eight-legged freaks. And they're like, well, okay, we need to change the name of the movie because it's something that's become problematic right now. Let's just use this line that he improvised.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And yeah. I could totally see that. Oh my gosh.
But okay, like recommending other stuff. I had to ask you that because you've got a movie podcast. So I hope to review any of those that we've just talked about. But
definitely
you mentioned you were into other sim games. Like what are some of your favorites?
Sims itself. I admit I got into that a little late in the game, but like, so I'm doing like Sims 4. I thoroughly enjoy it, but I'll do like weird stuff. Like I'll have like, This game is my vampire world. And so I'll have like a house that's What We Do in the Shadows. And over here is Buffy. And over here is True Blood. Like I'll have those characters. Like, and then I get to watch them all like interact with each other. It's so fun. And then of course the other one is House Flipper. I know some people find it boring. I find it very relaxing.
Like, oh, okay.
I'm gonna go clean up a house and paint it and sell it.
is that just the kind of the loop? Is like you start with the house, you furnish it, and then change the wallpaper and the paint?
Usually what you'll end up, like, you're a buyer, so you'll buy a house and it could be like a hunk of junk and there's trash everywhere. And so you've got to go around, like, pick it all up and mow the lawn, you know, there's different things like that. But what's fun is every now and then they will throw in a house that's like, oh, this is clearly the house from Breaking Bad. It has the pizza on the roof and everything. Right? They have one that's like, oh, this huge exhibit museum got trashed. It needs to be fixed. It's Jurassic Park.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Yeah. But that's it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And so you fix it up and then you get to sell it, or you can keep it, you know, just do whatever you want, really. It's very, it allows you to do a lot. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And then there was another one. You suggested we try out Jurassic World Evolution. Is that a park management kind of game?
Yes, it's okay. Well, I like to call it God mode, where you're, you know, over the top. But yeah, you're basically in God mode, and you're just, you know, you'll be given a mission of like, oh, we need to breed these dinosaurs and make sure you have the right pen for them, and yeah. Your guests are complaining that there's no bathrooms, you got to put those in, you know, stuff like that.
that's awesome. Yeah. I love, especially like theme park simulators. I loved those as a kid. So, I should check that one out. But are there any other things that you're reading, watching, or playing right now that you'd want to recommend to anyone?
As far as what I'm reading, I'm actually kind of rereading, but I'm the Buffy comic.
That's cool.
After the show ended, they kept writing the comics. So there's like a season 8, season 9, like, I've been reading those.
Nice. Wow. Okay.
And then watching, I actually have been watching Silo. Cannot recommend it enough. It is so good. Have you seen it?
No, but I have seen a trailer and it looked fascinating.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Okay. It's similar to that, like Lost, where it's like, oh, we get a little bit more each episode, but better than Lost. Don't take that.
It feels like it's going in a direction where the writers know what's going to happen, right?
That part, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that's what I hope for when it comes to any sort of TV show, like Lost especially. I've got one recommendation, and that is for next month's game. And this particular game, we are having a vote in the Discord channel for what's going to like come up next month. And we ended up with a 3-way tie. Because of that, I deferred it to Zach, who is going to be on the show. So Zachary then deferred it back to me. And I said, you know what? We're going to have somebody impartial. So I then went to Carrie, my wife, and I said, you get to pick the game. And I gave her the 3 trailers, and she said, all right, it's going to be this one. And so next month, we are going to be talking about Journey to the Savage Planet. From what I can tell, it looks kind of like a mixture between Subnautica, Far Cry, and Metroid Prime. And I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but it looks fascinating. All three of those, I highly recommend. Subnautica was a really cool underwater exploration game that scared the shit out of me a lot. Metroid Prime, really cool exploration game. Of course, like, that's very popular. And then the Far Cry series is just this open world kind of place where you run around and do stuff and find animals to either kill, like try and kill the animals, or you end up getting the animals to kill other people. But this one, Journey to the Savage Planet, looks fascinating, and I'm excited to check it out. So remember, you can be part of the show by writing into psplusgameclub@gmail.com to share your thoughts about Journey to the Savage Planet or recommend any future game episodes. You can also find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin, if that's the way you'd like to contact the show, and the Trophy Talk Network Discord. Before we go, Rachel, tell us again where people can find Critically Tipsy.
Wherever you get your podcasts. I believe we come off of SoundCloud though.
Okay.
But yeah, anywhere you can get your podcasts, you should be able to access Critically Tipsy. We drink and review things for your pleasure. We do drunken movie reviews of our favorite movies from when we were kids.
Any favorite movies that you've reviewed recently?
Actually, yeah. One of my favorites is Dirty Dancing. We had so much fun with that one.
Okay. Where can people find you if they want to contact the show?
I should have had this ready. It's it's just criticallytipsy@gmail.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with me about Bee Simulator. This has been a ton of fun.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. I had a great time.
And thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day and have fun playing around.